Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. We're going to continue now with a very intriguing and interesting interview I conducted with Stan Dale, modern-day Indiana Jones. If you missed any of the prior recordings in our podcast, go back past two or three, because he lays out the evidence that the Garden of Eden is still in existence. The mythical city of Atlantis, he has discovered. He details that. And a top secret project he was working on back in the 1970s that absolutely lines up with everything we've been studying about the end of time and the end of days. And this is an intriguing discussion we are having with how the government and the Vatican covered up the contact with alien life forms and what they are planning, etc. We're just going to jump right back in where we left off with this discussion on our prior episode. And I pray that you'll pay attention to it. It's very interesting. We'll be back at the end.
And obviously they have a solution, because here they are traveling from their world to ours, all friendly. And yeah. So, when they offer to help us, it's like the movie V was, where these...
Right.
And that movie was so well done. Anyway, you had these aliens coming in that movie, and they had skins that looked human on the outside, but inside they were really reptilian creatures. So
right.
Give us a play on what the Bible does say about Satan being, you know.
Well, not only that, but when you were talking about the scaling effect on their skin, that's what I was thinking of, was that movie as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I forget the guy's name that wrote the series. I did try to contact him a number of times to tell him that you did such a wonderful job in bringing the biblical prophecies of what's about to happen into a fictional storyline. They end up killing the aliens in his books by having a distilled blood. It's a hybrid of an off-world reptilian creature and a human. Not exactly how the Bible tells it, but still, it's the dried blood that they spread around the planet and runs off all the reptilian alien creatures. Very similar to, of course, the blood of Jesus being used to defeat him. But we were working, in essence, with these critters to develop this stuff. After I was dismissed, I was approached within several weeks by a group of prominent businessmen there in Melbourne. One of them was, I think, the president of a large insurance company's real-world job. And they were offering me a laboratory to continue my research, but apart from the group. And I was having a long lunch, and they plied me with a nice bottle of wine, and they said, look, we're going to go 60 miles north here and give you a laboratory underground. You can't tell anybody about this. Obviously, it'd be secret. But we know that your antenna you're working on requires, several thousand feet straight up. But we thought it would work if we put you down in a mine shaft and you just ran the wire up the shaft. And I said, yeah, probably would. And he said, well, we'll set you up and put your lab down at the bottom of the mine shaft in the Ballarat gold fields. And even with a bottle of wine in me, I was thinking, tell no one, go work at the bottom of a mine shaft with only one way out.
What could happen here?
Yeah, so that night, I'd already been thinking about hitting the road anyway. That night, I made plans to come to work at a friend's place and park my car out the back, and at about midnight when it's dark, have all my stuff there that I was going to be able to take with me in a duffel bag and hit the road. Mm. So I did, and it took me a few months to I crossed the Nullarbor Desert. I crossed the whole country with a group of hippies that I teamed up with, so that no one knew, where it was or who it was. Changed my name, and that was the beginning of hiding and running. And I had FBI, I had Vatican intelligence, ASIO, Australian intelligence. I had three or four intelligence agencies trying to find me for at least 6 months. They couldn't locate me. But they did eventually catch me. And fortunately, I'd gone to West Australia, where I had friends I didn't know about in the intelligence world, and they protected me over there. And that's the reason I lived to tell the story.
Because they were looking to eliminate you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, look, just before I came out of the desert with those hippies, we were parked one night not far from the dirt road, that the main dirt road going across the desert. And we had a campfire lit, and we're having our coffee and had finished dinner. And we could see off in the distance, because out there it's a flat, you can see cars coming for a long way away. This light, you know, headlights of a car kept coming and coming and coming, came right over to us, pulled up, stopped, and got out. And there's one man, and he kind of looked like he knew karate. I mean, he was pretty pretty healthy guy. Anyway, he came over, and he talked to us. Said, could he have some coffee? Yeah, sure. And he comes and sits right by me on the log I was sitting on. And I thought, well, that's strange, but okay. So everybody's talking, and the rest of the crew out there, they were dope smokers, so they were lighting up their weeds. And he leaned over to me in my ear, and he says, I know who you are. Your real name is blah, blah, blah. And I said, uh-huh. And he says, we've been looking for you. I was actually sent to dispose of you. And I thought, holy cow. And, you know, and I just kind of held my breath waiting for where I could jump or do to get out of his way. And he says, but relax. I'm going to tell him I didn't find you and let you go. And I have no idea to this day why he did, but he was a Jesuit intelligence officer. And I only saw him one other time after that when I got to Perth. But, yeah, so they were interested in being sure I didn't tell the rest of the story.
So with sharing this now, is it because the classification wore off or enough information has come out? Or how does that work?
You know, I've often wondered that. We came back to the States in 2001. I was allowed to come back and have my passport returned and my citizenship returned. They'd taken all that away from me to keep me in Australia.
Wow.
And it took a call from former Secretary of Defense Jim Schlesinger before they would release all that stuff and let me back in, which he did do. Now, I thought, it's going to be interesting to see if the plane blows up on the way over there or if we have an accident after the fact. And that was, what, 15 years ago, still here.
Amen.
So, you know, the good Lord has looked after us. I don't know why they did that and didn't harm me. But, you know, as far as I know, I have no classifications, security classifications, or a hit out on me at the moment. I've never had any problems since we've been back.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes, I think that is. Yes, yes. Holly says yes, yeah.
Amen. So now you're doing videos about your experiences with all of this?
Yeah, bits and pieces of it. Certainly you saw the Trump video. I have one I'm working on now then, which has never been released. We filmed it in a private home up near Cheyenne Mountain, where NORAD is, in 2000. I was called to visit before we were actually accepted back into the country, and I visited with the crew there, and it was never shown. It was, you know, something that was filmed for Dr. Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project, and maybe they didn't like all the names I mentioned, or it was too litigious for them to risk it, but they never used it, so I had Holly sitting there in the room filming it while they were filming me. And so I'm trying to edit that and get some little short, you know, 15-minute clips to put up to share with folks if they're interested in that kind of thing.
Amen. Well, there was a TV show back in the 60s, and I can't remember the name of it now, but it was a scientist who was trying to warn everyone that they're already among us, and they were trying to kill him. And they looked, you know, the aliens looked exactly like everyone else, with the exception the ring finger on the right hand, they couldn't straighten out for some whatever reason. And that's the only way he could tell if they were aliens, because he'd go to shake hands with someone, and that finger would be sticking, you know, it wasn't able to straighten out. And that's how he knew they were really an alien. Do you remember that show?
I do. Can you hold 1 second?
Sure. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Yeah, the show was called Invaders. The Invaders.
Roy Thins,
Thins, starred in it as David Vincent, the architect.
That's right. Yep. And that sounds so similar to what you're saying.
Yes, it does. It does. You know,
and the timing would be just about right.
67 to 68 is when it was on TV.
Yeah. As far as the technology and all that, although you were recruited 5-6 years after that, the technology was probably already there, and you know, you just stepped into it. But what I'm saying is it sounds like the government's effort at let's begin desensitizing the people.
Yeah, I often wonder if the leak that I provided, there was one other like me they turned loose over in England, in London somewhere, on one of the university sets. He was working for them, and they dived him out over there. And I think they probably destroyed our records to keep us from being hunted down, you know, to make it difficult. Mm-hmm. But after that, I just don't know, you know, what happened. I do tell people that they ought to have a look at a short story written by Raymond F. Jones back in 1950s. It was a short story called Noise Level. And I've mentioned it in one lecture I made back in Roswell years ago, in 2005, I think, because this Noise Level short story explains how the U.S. government tricked a number of their own scientists into believing they had one of these autodidactic polymaths that had invented a backpack to put on him, give him anti-gravity. But he'd gotten killed while demonstrating it to the Defense Department. And Noise Level says, you know, okay, go investigate this guy's room and his possessions. He's obviously not here to tell us how he did it. We want you to figure out how he got anti-gravity and come up with a solution before, you know, the enemy does. And, of course, weeks go by, a few months go by, and one of the physicists, he's out fishing. He's over in California and gone out fishing for the weekend. And he's watching, he's throwing stones and hooks into the water and watching the little ripples come out. And suddenly he realizes harmonics. That's it. Mm-hmm. He races back to the aerospace company and he says, okay, here's the design we're going to build and try. This will give us anti-gravity. And they worked for a few weeks building this thing that weighs about 15 tons. It's a big disc, flat disc, and they pull the switch, and it goes up 6 inches and floats. And they are impressed. That's the beginning of anti-gravity. They go back to the Defense Department, and I say, look, to the generals and the Department of Defense, look, we've done it. It's not, you know, not like his little backpack thing, but it's the concept. We can make it smaller once we get the hang of it. And the generals say, well, look, we've got somebody we want you to meet. And they open a couple of those, you know, like folding doors at the end of the office. And there's the young inventor that was allegedly killed. And they say, this is the guy that you thought was the inventor. We invented him and made a filmed documentary of it and brought you a bunch of melted components on the table here so that we removed the noise from your mind so that you could think clearly that anti-gravity is possible. And that's what allowed you to think out of the box and generate anti-gravity. I've often wondered if they didn't pull something like that for real.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Noise level.
You're talking about the harmonics and all of that. There's rumors that DARPA up, you know, in Alaska is utilizing something like that, and they they're accusing of causing earthquakes and weather patterns and all this other things. Do you think that could be along the same lines?
This is not, you're not talking about HARP, are you?
Or HARP, yeah, HARP, yeah.
Well, it involves harmonics, there's no question about that. And the HARP array is actually based on Nikola Tesla's technology as far as putting electricity up in the upper ionosphere. He wanted to ionize the entire ionosphere with a particular frequency because the gas is at low pressure out there, and he wanted to make the Earth a planet of light day and night. In other words, make the atmosphere, the upper atmosphere and the ionosphere, to generate light, to light the whole planet day and night. Mm-hmm. And so what they're doing with HARP and HARP-like devices, the Chinese have, the Russians have as well, is to be able to direct a particular range of frequencies up into the atmosphere, into the ionosphere. And now then, instead of just trying to cause local weather conditions, they are able to put it up there and cause it to bounce and come down on the planet at a target. Now, the problem is, if the Chinese and the Russians and the Americans are all doing it at the same time with sort of similar frequencies, you'll get interactions between all these fields, which can build up mechanical or kinetic stresses in the Earth or in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So it is possible, but I think it would be an accident more than an intentional earthquake maker.
Okay. I say everything you're talking about, I mean, that is, you know, like I say, I'm looking at the disinformation aspect. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's a little bit of my background on that. And the thing is, the disinformation is often more susceptible to proof than the actual information they're trying to protect. You know, that they, because they align all their things just perfect to make sure that anybody doing research, oh yeah, well, this backs this up and this backs this up, all the references are, you know, coalescing together. But I want to jump back, if we can, a second to the underground facilities and all that and all these different areas of the world. I haven't done any of the checking or anything, but I'm sure you have. Are these the areas where a lot of UFO sightings have been made?
Where's that?
All the locations you said, you know, are all over the Earth, the underground facilities and things like that. Is that where a lot of the UFO sightings have been made?
In the late 50s, early 60s, they were probably fairly close to the bases. The one down at Fisherman's Bend in Victoria, Australia, they had a bay there that didn't have, you know, many people couldn't see out to what's going on out in the bay. It's a fairly large bay. Mm-hmm. And there were a number of sightings there. I think one important was in 1966. And that was within 30 miles of the Fisherman's Bend Aeronautical Research Labs where I was assigned. Mm-hmm. So it could have been that was close. But after they developed these things, there was one base that they put over in Saudi Arabia about 120 kilometers outside Riyadh in the Jabal Tuwaik mountain range. And that one, you had to be invited to have to come on a craft itself. You couldn't come by ground or normal aircraft, or you'd be shot down. It was really high mm-hmm. security. But that explained a number of the sightings across Saudi Arabia and the Middle East, you know, because they went all over Iran, Afghanistan. They were doing tests and development there, which makes me kind of suspicious of what Saudi Arabia's young prince, Mohammed bin Salman, is going to do with this 34-nation that conglomerate he's formed to make a military army in the Middle East. Does he have technology that he hasn't announced to the world? I don't know. But I know we had a huge secret facility over there to develop and a lot of sightings in the area. Here in the United States, it was probably things like maybe in Arizona, Nevada, some underground stuff there. I wouldn't swear to it, but we've, like the mile-wide craft that appeared in the dark over Phoenix called the Phoenix Lights.
Yep.
To me, that looked like a rather large vehicle being tested and moved out of the region to somewhere else. You can build a craft that's a mile in diameter. I mean, a huge craft, right? You can build the skin of it and put blinking lights on it, but underneath it, you can hook up little 30-foot diameter saucer craft that have anti-gravity, link them together, and you can fly that thing around like it's got huge engines and stuff and, you know, impress people with a mile-wide diameter craft that's flying overhead. This is going to impress most engineers because they don't think it's possible, but it's only kind of not thinking out of the box.
Mm. And that's the whole point in our interview, is to show people that there are government entities that are thinking outside the box, and apparently in cooperation with, fallen angels, Nephilim, and things like that, correct?
Yeah, and I think that anybody that didn't cooperate is long gone, or out of the picture. And it fits in with the prophecy saying that a great deception would fool even the very elect if such were possible. We've never had such a time where people are crying out for peace and safety, and when they do cry out for it, there's sudden destruction coming, because it's going to get to peace and safety for a bit by the follow-ons and their technology posing as, you know, friendly aliens to come help us. And they can do stuff like, I'm sure, take like videos or holographs they've made of the crucifixion of Jesus himself and say, look, we were there, you know, we filmed this, and this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And he was just one of us, and, you know, believe what we say, and we'll give you a peaceful planet. We'll appoint a fellow from you guys, one of your Earth people, and we'll back him, and he'll be the king, quote, dictator of your planet, and bring safety. And they plan to do this, I'm sure, very shortly.
Yeah, and that's part of the Antichrist scenario.
It is. It is. This year is looking very good. I mean, I say that every year, Holly says, but this year is looking even better for a release of the Great Deception, where people will cry out for someone, please help us and stop the nuclear war, the famine, the crazy weather, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yep.
And you can see it every night in the news, where everything is starting to line up. Sides are being drawn. And, you know, everyone's worried about President Trump, you know, with the nuclear codes and all that. But, you know, antagonizing China, antagonizing Russia, antagonizing Iran. And
but don't forget North Korea.
Oh, and absolutely North Korea. And, you know, all these, it's like us against everyone else, because they're all cooperating together, you know. Not only in the scientific aspect, the military aspect, but they're also lining up, you know, about the dollar, about devaluing the American dollar and changing that as from the world currency, and just destabilizing the American economy and putting so much pressure on the nation that, you know, it looks like war is inevitable.
Well, not only that, they're putting pressure on the economic systems to get rid of cash because of all the crime that uses $100 bills and $50 bills to exchange, you know, for drugs and, you know, murder for hire and that kind of stuff. So they're pushing very hard to go to the cashless society. We've known about it coming for years, but this year seems to be really, you know, pregnant with let's switch to that to save the world.
Praise the Lord. Well, I keep telling my wife, I say, you know, I'm a little bit like you, but looking at it from a different perspective, I say, this might be the year that Jesus returns.
And
my kids say, well, you said that last year. I said, I know, we're that much closer now.
I don't feel so bad now. I love it. Yeah.
Amen. Well, Doctor, if anyone wanted to get a hold of you and, you know, ask you to speak or, you know, do another interview or, you know, order some of your materials, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, you mean other than the FBI or the National Security Agency?
But yeah, I'm sure they already know.
Right, okay, yeah.
They got you on speed dial.
Yeah, evening entertainment for the boys. We have a website that Holly updates 5 days a week with the news, and sometimes 6 days a week when it gets to be pretty exotic news, which is almost every week now.
Yeah.
It's standeo.com, standeo.com. We also have a website with a lot of free emergency preparation information for people to download. That's called daretoprepare.com. Dare to prepare, all just kind of spelled out and run together, .com. So those two are our major contact areas. And if you want to contact me about shows and things like that, well, go to send me an email at standeo@standeo.com. Pretty easy to remember.
Amen.
And, you know, we'll see if we can tee up a date and time and do it like we're doing with you here.
Yeah, amen. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out to share all of this, for lack of a better word, interesting perspective on things. And from everything you said and everything that I have seen in the past, you know, 40 years or so that I've been following interesting phenomena like that, it 100% makes complete sense now. It was the early release to desensitize the people.
Yeah, and look, I probably didn't mention the details of this, but after World War II, the Allies got together, and they realized with nuclear power, we really couldn't afford to have another major war on the planet, or we would kind of majorly wipe out civilization. Mm-hmm. And they had already seen that the United Nations, the League of Nations, those had not worked well at all. People couldn't agree on how to drink a cup of tea, much less solve global problems. And they had seen how Hitler had tried it by forcing people, you know, into a dictatorship. That wouldn't be stable because of the ground resistance that would form, and it would destabilize it. The people of Earth had to want to have a new kind of government, and it had to have no track record, no political history, no religious history, etc. Mm-hmm. And that's why they determined that if they could generate, they were helped by this, by Satan and his minions, but if they could generate a fake alien civilization coming to the planet at the time it's most needed, that people could then be encouraged by the fear of total annihilation at their own hands versus life and peace at the hands of these aliens and the people they appoint. And that's how it all started. It was alternative three. One and two were the peaceful and the dictatorship. The third is to coerce, to fool the people into accepting it for a while and see if it works.
Amen. Amen. And it is, I mean, the time is right. It doesn't get any better than what it is right now.
I know, and I'm expecting one of the things we'll hear is an attempted invasion, military invasion of Israel. Mm-hmm. And I think Saudi Arabia will be in that, and there will be a nuclear exchange. In fact, Holly has written about this in her book, the Prophetic Perils book, that she just released late last year.
Okay.
Huge book, all the current events that are filling biblical prophecy, just huge. And you will see in there the gathering of nations. We're seeing it happen right now. And if Israel is forced into using its nuclear devices, and we know they have over 300 at least, the rest of the world is going to be scared to death because Israel is loose, you know, with the nukes. And they'll do everything they can to make a peace treaty in the Middle East and with the rest of the world to have Israel not use its nukes again. This was probably going to be the treaty that the Prince of the Covenant is going to sign between Israel and the rest of the nations because they want to preserve the peace on the planet. And I think Saudi Arabia, from what Holly has stated in her book, from the prophecy, that Saudi Arabia will lose majority of its army in trying to attack Israel and will withdraw down to the Riyadh line and give Israel back its old territory from the biblical times.
What about Iran?
Iran. Well, Iran will probably suffer a number of things. It's strange because Saudi Arabia hates Iran, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And so they've been working toward destroying them, and that's they formed this 34-nation consortium to kill ISIS and ISIL and also to get Iran, to detooth Iran, as it were. So in moving that direction, they may hit Iran at the same time they hit Israel and solve the problem altogether, or try to anyway, but be put down. Pick up the newspaper every morning and open it up like, surprise, you know. We're so close. We're so close.
It is. It is. Amen. Well, Stan, I appreciate you taking your time out of your busy day. I'll let you get back to your research. Is it okay if I check in with you and when something dramatic happens and see what your take is on things?
Sure. Be glad to.
Amen. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. I could keep going for hours with Stan Deo. And I encourage you to go to his website, standeo.com, and look at the materials he has, and you know, look at some of these YouTube videos, and you be the judge for yourself if we are not living in the day and the hour that the Bible talked about and warned us about. Amen.
Amen.
So for Standeo myself, remember to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.